From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome, Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are on board today. Thanks, as always, for hanging out with us. We certainly appreciate it. Talking some Green Bay Packers football. They're taking on the Miami Dolphins this coming weekend. Lambeau Field on the call. Going to be Kevin Harlan and this gentleman, Rich Gannon, former quarterback, CBS sports analyst for the NFL, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Rich, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm sitting here watching some tape, getting ready for what I hope is going to be a great game between the Packers and the Dolphins on Sunday.
Well, let me ask you this, considering that you're looking at this. So what do you see out of this team that is ailing them right now?
Where do you want to start? I guess you should start, you know, offensively. For whatever reason, I think it's the little things. And you hear coaches say that a lot. You know, I don't think it's any one thing. I think, you know, they've got to run the ball better. I think, you know, that's got to be more of a priority. It's hard to say that when you've got a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. I just noticed, a couple instances in the game against the Patriots where Aaron gets outside the pocket, he starts moving. This used to be one of the best teams in football, the scramble drill. When Aaron would move, all the receivers and tight ends and everyone would adjust to him. There'd be a sense of urgency. I saw a half dozen snaps where I didn't see that. Guys weren't fighting to get back, take friendly angles, work down the boundary. How many times you see Jordy Nelson in the past would turn back upfield, dart to the post, and Aaron would throw him a 60-yard strike. You just don't see that as much. And so I think that's part of it. I think injuries have played a little bit of an issue with the offense, but for whatever reason, they're just not completely in sync. When you look at situational football, third down, the red zone, those type of things. I think on the defensive side of the ball, I think when you look at the roster, they've gone through some changes. And as you look at the roster, I'm just looking at it from an offensive perspective. If I'm getting ready to prepare for Mike Pettine and this defense, who are the guys that scare me? Who is the dominant pass rusher that, you know, we've got to handle? And when you look at what Clay Matthews has done, you look at what Nick Perry have done, I mean, the production simply isn't there. Those guys, I think, have combined for four sacks, you know, in the first eight games of the season. That's just not going to get it done. I mean, they're getting, you know, it's not like they're doubling these guys. They're getting single blocks and just not winning enough. So you look at the front seven, I don't think there's a dominant player there that really gets your attention. And the secondary's got some young players that I like. You look at, you know, Alexander, you look at Green, and you look at Jack and some young players that are getting some playing time. But look, you know, they've gone through some changes there as well. You know, you move on from Clinton Dix. You've got Jermaine Williams playing the safety position. So to me, it's just, they are what the record says they are. They're coming off of, lost three of the last four, and this is a critical time in the season if they're going to make a push for the postseason.
I guess if you want to look at glasses half full, you're on the road against two top opponents in L.A. and New England. You have opportunities. You pretty much shot yourself in the foot. It wasn't anything specific that they did. So if you want to take away something, there's some positives. The negatives are you continue to make the same mistakes. You're behind early in some of these ballgames. They continually play catch-up. I don't know if the glass is half full or the glass is half empty. What do you take it right now?
Well, look, I think this is an important game. I think when you look at the record at 3-4-1, if they can get back to 500 against a team they should beat. I just looked at the Dolphins with Brock Osweiler. I mean, honestly, it was almost unwatchable against the Jets. I mean, they just, you know, their defense won that game. The defense scored the only touchdown of the game. You look at what what their defense did. The defense had four sacks and they had four interceptions. And, you know, the offense punted the ball nine times. They were 3-16 on third down. So I don't think that the Packers should dominate this offense with Brock Osweiler playing quarterback. I mean, that's, you know, they should be able to create some turnovers and field position, those type of things. I think defensively, probably the Dolphins' best game of the season. Although if you look at some of the struggles that they've had, I mean, going up against good quarterbacks, I mean, this is a group that can be had. So I'm not overly concerned that they can't, you know, at home get a win against the Dolphins. I think what's the problem is what lies ahead. You look at the schedule; they got to go to Seattle, and Seattle's playing some pretty good football. Then they got to go to play the Vikings, and Kirk Cousins has been a big story this year in Minnesota. So I think these next 3 weeks will tell us a lot about where the Packers stand in terms of their ability to get back in this race in the NFC North.
That was going to be my next question. So nobody's really run away with things, but you know what? Another loss and a couple more wins by either Minnesota or Chicago or both, and suddenly you're talking about a season that's gone by the wayside. So, I mean, I said last week was an important game, last Sunday night, because I thought it was the litmus test where if you won that game, then it validated what you did in L.A. If you lost that game and lost that game by a large margin, then what you did in L.A. was somewhat of an apparition, and now you're considering you're not really able to compete with the big boys. How far, or I keep wanting to find hope, I guess, is the best way to put it. I mean, can it just be as simple as saying Aaron Rodgers getting on track and feeling healthier?
Well, that has a lot to do with it. I mean, if there's any quarterback that can carry a team on his shoulders, it's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I've seen him do it time and time again, even when the roster around him hasn't been great. And so, you've got a situation in Chicago with a second-year player at the quarterback position. I think he's improved significantly from a year ago. But, you're right. I agree. There's not a team in the division that's going to run away with it. I think it's going to come down to the wire. It's just a question of, can the Packers, over the next month of the season, get themselves back into the mix? And then all of a sudden, anything's possible. But, the Vikings, to me, the really good defense. It's where they spent a lot of their resources, a lot of their money in the draft picks and free agency the last 3 or 4 years. I think it's a better defense right now than what the Packers have. You look at the way Chicago is on defense. If they can get, Khalil Mack back on the field, they look a lot different. But I think it's going to be, in years past, it was always about, Aaron Rodgers carrying his team. I think he's going to need some help. I think the defense has to continue to improve under Mike Pettine. I mean, they're ranked in the top 10, but, can they, in the second half of the season, can they tighten up some things and clean up some things? And I also think running the football. I mean, I like Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, but at some point, that's got to be more of a focal point with this offense, especially when the weather starts to turn.
The argument is by many outside that say, well, the offense has become stale and it's predictable. And do you see that, or is it just a matter of execution?
I don't think it's a question of play calling. And again, I am biased. Mike McCarthy was my quarterback coach for 4 years in Kansas City. I've seen what Mike has done. I did Packer preseason games for the last, 13 years. I see, Aaron Rodgers is a great player. I think certainly the fact that Mike McCarthy had something to do with it in terms of coaching him and calling the plays, I think it's been a great pairing and a great relationship, and I hope it continues. But, I don't really think the issue right now is the plays. I just think more of the execution, and I think most of the players in that huddle would tell you that. I think they've got to play better. They've got to protect better. They've got to execute better. They've got to take better care of the football, all those things. And, I think it gets down to situationally. And I think that's certainly a point of emphasis. It was a point of emphasis during the bye week. I know that, just in terms of being better on third down, being better in the red zone. Those type of situations that ultimately decide games, particularly games against teams like the Patriots and the Rams.
Rich, always a pleasure to talk to you. Look forward to the call this weekend. We'll see you at Lambeau, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, brother.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you later. Rich Gannon, former quarterback himself, CBS Sports NFL analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE. Or go to SchneiderJobs.com. And don't forget, guys, hey, if you are struggling with ED, erectile dysfunction, don't be deceived by all the noise out there about the pills. This pill, that pill, whatever it happens to be. It can be caused by many different problems. There's some underlying factors there. All you got to do is go see the medical experts at Neumel Medical Center. They're going to create an ED solution, especially for you. And the best part about it, you're going to see the results in the first visit, or that visit is free. All but guarantee free. And if you are sluggish or moody or foggy, you may have some low energy, a low T like I did. Thanks to Numail, plenty of energy to keep up with my schedule and my life and all over the place. Hey, if you want to shed some pounds as well, don't forget, if you're eating out all the time or maybe you're not eating healthy and you're doing a few different things you probably shouldn't, you're starting to pack on the pounds, the all-in-one weight loss program, it's awesome. And I lost over 50 on it, kept it off, keeping it off, feeling younger, getting back in the game. Call my friends at Numail Medical Center today. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. Locations in Green Bay and in Milwaukee. Again, call them today. 414-455-4451. Going to talk some UWM men's basketball when we come back. Also, just after that, Eric Name, Bucks reporter for The Athletic. We're going to talk with him about the Milwaukee Bucks. They take a loss last night on the road. Taking on Portland last night and didn't shoot well in the second half of that ball game, and no Giannis late in that ball game, as a matter of fact. So we'll get into that discussion coming up here in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I see your dirty face.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show. We're on the air. We are glad you're on board today and hoping you're having a fantastic day today. Hoping you're having a good one. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Want to let you know that our friends at Cousin Subs, they want to send you out to check out the battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. Because it's going to be a party. They got a tailgate party all set up. And in doing so, they're going to give you a customized jersey, take you to the tailgate party. Then they're going to give you a couple of tickets to get into the game. And the best part about it is you can win Cousin Subs for a year. I'm not kidding. Cousin Subs for a year. For a year. And all you got to do is go to CousinSubs.com. That's CousinSubs.com and check it out for yourself. And then, by the way, CousinSubs.com/Badgers. And check it out for yourself. You can register daily, by the way, increasing your odds of winning. That's CousinSubs.com/Badgers, and you're good to go. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Pat Baldwin, UW Milwaukee men's basketball coach. Joining us, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm still trying to find the basket. That's what I'm trying to do.
I was checking that game out. I have never seen anything like that in the second half. It was just it was almost a battle of futility. It just wasn't going in at all. Last, have you ever seen anything like that?
You know, I've seen games like that before, and I mean, you've seen games where Virginia's played and they've done that to teams before, and it's just hard when you're going through it and you know your guys are really battling. They want to help their team so much, but for some reason or another, we couldn't find the stroke in the second half that we had in the first.
You guys were up by 10 at the half, and in the second half of that ball game, it just went really cold. You said the offense got stagnant. Explain what you mean by stagnant.
Well, I thought we were playing, and we do have really good perimeter players, in my opinion, but I thought the ball, you know, whenever we just stayed around the three-point line a lot. A lot of our guys, when they got the basketball, they wanted to try to make plays for themselves, or they wanted to really help our team win, so the ball stuck a lot. So there wasn't a lot of movement. We didn't penetrate against their defense and make them work defensively, and I think that was the demise of our offense. You know, just the ball stuck. It didn't move, and that's contrary to how we typically want to play anyway.
You guys connected on just 2 of 17 after halftime last night. The one thing that I got the sense, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like guys were pressing. Everybody just wanted to make a play. Everybody just wanted one to fall, as if all of a sudden the lid was going to fall off the basket, and suddenly you start stressing over it, right?
Yeah, I agree with you, and we always talk about that is, you know, you want it so badly and you put so much pressure on yourself that you hold the ball a little bit tighter. It seems to be a little bit more heavy. And you just don't relax, you know, like you normally would in a game. And I think that's what happened to us a little bit. I think our guys were pressing and trying to make the home run play versus, you know, hitting with the singles and doubles to, you know, to at least extend our lead or stay in the game.
Also, in one of those circumstances, sometimes you can get it done with defense. Last night, points in the paint, not great. You guys got 28-12 last night. It seemed like what could go wrong did go wrong, and it's one of those terrific film studies. I mean, you don't want to watch a game like that, but it's great to be able to point things out and say, okay, this is what we did wrong. It's one of those great learning tools, isn't it?
It is, and, you know, I've already watched it three times. And
doesn't get any better, though, does it?
it does. I'm hoping it does. You know, and we'll watch it again with our guys just to – it's a learning tool. You know, I've said all along in this early part of the year, because we have so many new guys, there's going to be a lot of new lessons that come up that – and our teaching is going to have to be really important to help our guys get to where we want them to be. I think that we have a good team. I think that we have good players. And but chemistry takes a while to get. And, you know, hopefully we get it, you know, get it coming up on Saturday because that's the game for us.
Well, you guys actually played really well in the first half. I mean, as far as defense goes, you held them without a field goal, what, for almost 6 minutes or a little over 6 minutes at one point, right?
Yeah. And that was, you know, that's what I tell our guys all the time is that, you know, you want your defense to travel. And in the first half, we really paid attention to our scouting report and what we wanted to, you know, try to accomplish defensively. And then as our defense moved away from us in the second half, you know, I thought we had a lot of breakdowns, one in transit, you know, several in transition, you know, a few more in the half court. And it just, the floodgates opened up after that.
Talk about your team this season. Talk about coming into the season, not necessarily dwelling on last night, but just what are your expectations this year and some of the guys that you have you want to pay attention to?
Yeah, you know, I think, like I said, I think that we have really good players. You know, we have our guys that are coming back in Bryce Barnes and Vance Johnson and Carson Warren Newsome that have played. And then we have DeAndre Abram, who sat out last year, and I think that he could be, you know, a pretty good player in this league. And, you know, for us, you know, I think that we have a collection of good length and size and athleticism that I think that we can take advantage of. And as I mentioned, we have to make sure we're putting them in the right position to be successful. With those new guys that are in, you know, Darius Roy, he's proven in the last couple of games that, you know, he has the capability of taking over offensively and doing some really good things there. And, you know, DeAndre's another guy like that. And last night, Allen, if he makes a couple free throws, he has a double-double. And we've seen that before. So, you know, I think there's a lot of positives that we can take out of last night. And now moving forward, we learn from our film, we get better, and we go back, you know, to the drawing board and prepare for a good North Dakota team that, you know, for our homecoming on Saturday at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock. I'm sorry.
I got to ask you, because Carson and Amir, both those guys, sophomores coming into this season, you know, how big is it as far as this season for them and that learning and that experience and taking that next step forward?
You know, this is huge for them, and they're going to be learning on the job and out on the floor, and really, you know, we're going to count on them a lot. And Amir, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, he's 6'8", 6'9", has really good size, he's athletic, he's very explosive, and we're going to count on him to man the paint, much like we did, you know, our guys last year, you know, and Brett, so, I mean, we're looking forward to his progression and him getting better. He's just scratching the surface on how good he can be. And somebody like Carson, he's been in our program. He knows what we're looking for. And we're just talking to him about consistency every single day and being an everyday guy. And we're working through that with him. But I think eventually he'll get it. And once he does, I think that he'll, you know, add a great amount of versatility to our team.
You got some good games coming up as well. Obviously, you mentioned North Dakota, Florida International. You go on the road down to Cincinnati, and you're taking on a good Bearcat squad down there. Talk about the Horizon League, though. We got Link Darner on a little bit earlier, and he was describing the conference. So give me your thoughts on the Horizon League itself.
I mean, first of all, I think the conference has really good coaches. If you think about who's in our league, you know, Felton at Cleveland State, Davis at, you know, who's gone to a Final Four and, you know, at Indiana, now he's in our league. And obviously at Wright State with Nagy and Northern Kentucky with Brennan. So there's really good coaches in our league, and I'm not discounting anybody else in our league, but there's really good coaches. There's really good players. The competition level is really good. And I think there's probably four or five or six teams that you can count in our league that has a chance of winning it. So the parity is good. The competition level is really good. And the players are good as well. So every single night, it's a battle. You have to make sure that you're prepared every single night. And, you know, it's going to be one of those things where it goes until the last week of the season before you really, you know, figure out who's going to win the thing.
Coach, always a pleasure to chat. Best of luck to you guys down the road. I'm sure we're going to talk, and we will chat again soon, okay?
Thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate it.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you later. Pat Baldwin, UW-Milwaukee men's basketball head coach, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. I'm paying attention to that game last night. They're up at 10 at half on the road in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts, at Boston College. And I'm thinking, okay, this is a solid performance. Man, you get a win on the road at Boston College, not a bad deal. And it was amazing. They just couldn't hit a shot. It got to the point where it was almost like, I don't want to say embarrassing because you feel bad for the guy. It just, everybody was pressing. They couldn't hit a shot. I mean, not anything. Beyond the arc, driving to the hoop, a layup that clanks off the rim. It's just like everybody tightened up. And some things like that will start to come with experience. But North Dakota on the docket for homecoming coming up this Saturday. Then you've got Florida International on the road in Miami. Then they go down to take on the Bearcats at Cincinnati before they get into the Basketball Hall of Fame Belfast Classic. And that'll be going on then as well. But a lot of good hoops. A lot of things have started up now in the world of college basketball. So thanks to him for joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they'll be going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Tomorrow night, we're back out on the road. We're going to be at Bullwinkle's on Blue Mound Road. Come on out and say hi right out there, almost at the corner, near Gerke's Corners, as a matter of fact, right across the street from the corners of Brookfield. Right across the street, if you know where that's at, out there by Von Maur. Come right across the street, and you're going to find Bullwinkle's. Chuck Freeman from Sports Radio 105.7 FM, our flagship station out of Milwaukee, is going to be there. I'll be there. Bud Light Street Team is going to be there. Come on out and say hello. Be a face in the crowd. That's tomorrow night, 6 to 8 on many of these same stations, and it's brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Eric Name, Bucks reporter for The Athletic. What went wrong last night? And would he have put Giannis in late in that ballgame? Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are going to be heading to the big game regardless if the Packers are there or not. We're going to be in Atlanta, Georgia this year, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the site of the Super Bowl. And as always, heading down to Radio Row, going to be down there with the biggest and the best and the brightest stars. Love that week. It's always a terrific week of interviews. Going down there, compliments of our friends down at Stenny's. Second in National Walker's Point. It is Milwaukee's best sports bar. It's like the Cheers of Milwaukee, man. It is fantastic. And they got their anniversary party coming up next week. Make sure you can stop into Stenny's, tell them we said hi. Also, our friends over at Bragger Chevy. Say hi to Glenn when you walk in there. Just go in and start talking sports with him over in the service department. They just fixed up my vehicle, got it running right, feeling good. Nice. Nice. They've been with us the last couple of years as well. And a lot of inventory on the lot, too. You can stop over there. Also, Gino and the whole staff down at San Giorgio. Old World 3rd Street in Kilbourne right there. You've got Calder and Club on the corner in San Giorgio next door. Go in and order the Bill Michaels. Go in and tell G, hey, I want the Bill Michaels. What's on it? He'll explain it to you. It's fantastic. Or the San Giorgio pizza. That's really good, too. I go down because they're almost personal pizzas. They're not huge. You can almost get both. If you got at least a pretty good-sized appetite, you can almost get both. But it is fantastic. San Giorgio, the only authentic Napoletana pizzeria in the state, as a matter of fact. And there's only 60-something of them in the country, and we have one right here in our own backyard. That is San Giorgio, down near the corner of Old World 3rd Street in Kilbourne, downtown Milwaukee. If you're heading down for any event at all, stop in and tell Gino and the whole staff we said hi. Eric Name, the Bucks reporter for The Athletic, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Eric, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. So last night, late in that ball game, Giannis not in the ball game. What was Budenholzer? Was he just thinking that if the game got close, he'd put him back in?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of, I was talking about it a little bit after the game with Mike Budenholzer, but it feels like the game went south for them at the start of the fourth quarter because they had both Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo on the floor, and they kind of decided that, okay, this is the time that we're going to strike, and the goal was both Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum were off the floor for the Blazers, and I mean, to me, it seemed like that was the moment that they needed to really get themselves back in the game. And they had a great run. It went from 14 down to just 8. And then all of a sudden, Evan Turner hits a mid-range jumper. Evan Turner hits another mid-range jumper. Myers Leonard hits a 3. And then it was a spot where it very easily could have been a 4-point game when Lillard and McCollum come back in. Instead, it was still an 8-point game. They hadn't gained quite enough ground. It went from 14 to 8, which is nice, but it really needed to go to like 14 to about 4 or so, because then you can find a way to get through that. You can sit at Antetokounmpo for a little bit, because he had already played 37 minutes when he came out with 5 minutes left. So you can sit him out for a little while, get him to the under 3 timeout, and then have him come back in the game. And that just wasn't how it played out, because it was only 8, and then by the time he would have came back in the game, it was 12. And after the game, that was essentially what Mike Budenholzer said was, you know, they got an early foul trouble. Chris Middleton picked up 2 early fouls last night. They got out of their typical rotations. Then Giannis started the fourth quarter. He was at those 37 minutes. He wanted to get him a little breather. And then if they were down 6 to 8 points, he would have came back in. And that just didn't happen. But whether or not it happened, Giannis wasn't happy about it. Like when we talked about it, talked to him about it after the game, I asked him a question and told him, like, hey, Bud said if it was a 6 to 8 point lead, you would have been back in the game. And he kind of like looked, he's like, oh, okay. And then eventually said, you know, for me as the leader of this team, I don't think it really matters what the game score is. It's an ego thing. When my team is down by 10 or 11 or 12, I want to be in there. It's simple. I don't want to be on the bench. And, I mean, I don't think anyone who has ever watched Giannis Antetokounmpo talk with Giannis would ever be surprised by that answer. He's just someone who wants to be in there at all times. It's just another one of those things where you're going to see the differences between Jason Kidd and Mike Budenholzer. Jason Kidd would have had no problem playing Giannis the final 18 minutes of a game because he did that all the time, and Giannis regularly went over 40 minutes per game. Mike Budenholzer, you know, got to 37 minutes, took him out to get a breather and hope that the game would be close enough, and then eventually decided to wave the white flag and not bring him back in. And, you know, it's an adjustment for everyone. A coach getting used to a player and a player getting used to a coach, and I don't know that either of them are going to change all that much. I can't imagine Giannis is going to stop wanting to play all 48 every night, and I don't imagine that Mike Budenholzer is going to feel any more comfortable with having Giannis go over 40 minutes in a game. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how that goes down as the year goes forward.
So I don't want to call this adversity or anything like that, but is this just an understanding that, you know, hey, we're not going to waste the legs of Giannis if the game isn't close and within reach?
Oh, man, it's kind of, this is just, I think, a really interesting road trip, because you look at the teams that they have in here. The Blazers, obviously a team that they were kind of, you thought they were going to struggle against, because they have guards like the Hornets have, and Kemba Walker, a guy that can hit some pull-up jumpers that can make it tough for this Bucks defensive scheme. So you saw a game there that, you know, was tough. You see a game against the Warriors coming up on Thursday that's obviously tough. You have a game against the Clippers, who are better than a lot of people think, coming up on Saturday afternoon. And then you have a Sunday back-to-back in altitude in Denver. And, you know, when you go through that four-game road trip, I don't want to say you pencil in the Warriors as a loss, but I think a lot of times you do. That team is just tremendous. So you kind of think that's a loss. You look at the end of it, you see a back-to-back in Denver and altitude, you think, okay, that's probably a schedule loss. There's probably two games to get here. There was this Blazers game, and there was that Clippers game. And, you know, now you've missed out on getting the Blazers game. And I just think it is probably Mike Budenholzer thinking, you know, I got to save Giannis from himself. But if you are trying to kind of go through this road trip, this is probably one of the ones that you thought, not that you can't win any of these games, but the ones that you thought you maybe needed to get if you wanted to have a 500 road trip, you let one go last night.
Talking with Eric Name, Bucks reporter for The Athletic. So overall, give me your thoughts on the way this team is playing. I like the style. I said, and Joe and I were talking about this earlier, but when you get to the postseason, at some point you're going to need a couple of stops. You're going to need a couple of lockdown stops. Not to say that this team doesn't play any defense, but that word is almost an ugly word at times, because as long as you're chucking it up from behind the arc, all they're going to do is wave an arm at you at this point. Is that now something that's not even a point of emphasis anymore with this team?
I think it's really tough, because this is a team that has been, I mean, before last night was top three defensively. They've been very good defensively. They've been able to get the stops that are necessary. And again, since the pace is so fast, you see 100-plus points in a game. So it's tough for the mind to kind of comprehend whether or not this is a good defensive team. But up until last night, they've been very good defensively. The big thing is there's specific teams and specific players that will make this defensive scheme struggle. And, you know, we heard it from Chris Middleton last night that, you know, the way that they cover stuff where the bigs end up dropping back into the lane, the guards go over the top, they're trying to force mid-range jumpers. On some nights, it's just going to be a really tough cover, because you have talented players like CJ McCollum, like Damian Lillard, that can really take advantage of it. So the big question to me is not whether or not this team is going to be good defensively throughout the year, because I think it is going to be good defensively throughout the year. The question is, when do adjustments come to specific teams? When will the Bucks game plan for an individual matchup? Because I think anyone who's followed this team thus far this year knew that Mike Budenholzer wasn't going to come into this game with a specific plan to stop CJ McCollum. And they weren't going to go into Boston with a specific plan to stop Kyrie Irving. Same thing in Charlotte with Kemba Walker, the three games that we've seen them struggle defensively. We knew he wasn't going to do that. But at some point, you do have to do that. You do have to prioritize winning games over getting your schemes right, getting guys adjusted to a new system. That has been Mike Budenholzer's priority through 10 games. Is that his priority through 20 games, 40 games, 80 games? When does that happen? But at some point, you do have to specifically game plan for teams. And that is really, to me, where the question will be, when does that happen? And, you know, does Mike Budenholzer make those adjustments when they need to make those adjustments?
See, I agree with you about the defense, in the sense of they do play it at times, but where they've been so good is not allowing second chance points. They've been, correct me if I'm wrong, they're the best rebounding team in all of basketball, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah, they've been really good about not allowing second chance points. So while they've allowed shots to get jacked up, and they haven't made necessarily great adjustments when teams start to shoot the ball, but what they're not allowing is the second chance points. They're good at getting the board and getting that moving in transition, because right now they're also second in overall scoring, and just behind Golden State, because that's, to me, where they've kind of excelled. And just watching them a couple of times up close and personal, they get it up and down the floor, they'll get a board, they'll go, and next thing you know, they're popping it up from the outside. They're not even taking the inside shot, unless, of course, it's Giannis running free down the middle or an alley-oop or something like that. But they've been really good at shooting the basketball, and they've been good at transition buckets coming off of the rebound.
Yeah, and that was a big thing that Brooke Lopez has really kind of cemented them as a good defensive rebounding team. And the interesting thing about him is he doesn't tend to grab the rebound. You look at his rebounds last night, he only had four of them. But what he does is he's just a mountain of a man. So he sits in the lane, and anybody that's coming in for an offensive rebound, he eats them up. And that, as you mentioned, they grab and go. And while there's no one in the league better at grabbing and going than Giannis Antetokounmpo. So essentially Lopez kind of takes everyone out, and then Giannis sweeps in and does that. And yeah, you have to be able to limit second chance points. And, you know, last night that was something that their defensive rebound rate was down a little bit last night. They gave up some of those. They gave up some of those kind of backbreakers where you get the first stop, don't get the rebound, and then all of a sudden that turns into a 3-4, you know, a couple guys in that Blazers lineup. And those are just backbreakers. So I would agree. You know, they have to continue to do a good job on the defensive glass. Last night wasn't their best performance there, but, you know, I think that's kind of been a priority for Mike Budenholzer, and, you know, we'll see how it goes the rest of the season.
Eric, good stuff. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week, okay?
I look forward to it.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. Eric Name of The Athletic joining us, the Bucks reporter, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844 Pride, or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Yeah, the Bucks overall, number one in rebounds, number one defensive rebounds as well. Offensive rebounds, not as great. They don't crash the boards. They're listed at number 18. Number eight in blocks so far this season. They got good length in this team, but only 28th overall in the NBA in steals, which means they're not really playing the ball or playing the back side of the ball to defend the passes. They're more so playing the shot and then turning around and getting a butt in you, getting the defensive board and moving the ball down court. 855-830-8648. There's one guy doesn't have any concerns about the Green Bay Packers, thinks they're going to be just fine. It's a big name. Tell you who it is when we come back. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show is on the air. We are glad you are on board. As always, we certainly appreciate you hanging out with us. Thanks so much. Reminding you again that the huddle coming up tomorrow night, 6 to 8, going to be out of Bullwinkle's in Brookfield. Come on by and say hello. Don't forget, we also have the Lodge Kohler kickoff on Monday night at Tavern in the Sky. That is from 6 to 7. Not sure who our guest is going to be this upcoming week, but it's always good. Always a great show. And if you're listening to us in the Green Bay area, Appleton area, Manitowoc area, whatever it may be, Menominee Marinette for that matter, come on over. Say hi to us. Tavern in the Sky at the Lodge Kohler, that's 6 to 7 this coming Monday night. We'll see you there. So one high-profile guy believes that, well, you know what, don't rule the Packers out because they've been there, done that. Brett Favre says he's not too worried.
I would not rule out the Packers until mathematically they're ruled out, only because Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback, and we've talked about this at the start of the year, and he alone, I know they got other good players, and they're well coached, but he alone, you know, gives them some, you know, serious credibility, and you can never overlook them, and I would not rule them out as the division champions when it's all said and done, mainly because of number 12. So the record kind of sucks right now. I know if Packer fans hate it, but you still got 12, you still got hope, and enough games left that you can turn it around. I mean, they almost lost. Almost beat the Rams. They were within striking distance last night for quite a while, so they're close, and they got 12. So continue to have hope if you're a Packer fan.
So in other words, as long as Aaron Rodgers is on the field, you have hope, and he's, you know what, he's not far off. He's not far off, in all honesty, and this is what I said. You know, earlier in the program, and I said it on Monday as well. You depends on how you look at it. If you look at it, the fact that if you look at it as they were a fumble away from maybe taking the ball down and scoring against the Rams, they were a fumble away from coming back down, tying that game up, and changing the course of action against the New England Patriots. You can take it that way, and you'd be right. But then again, fumbles, the same mistakes, some stupid penalties, third down conversion, things like that. You start to mount up some of the things that have gone wrong, and you can say, well, it's the same team that just continues to learn how to lose and not learn how to win. And Aaron Rodgers said it, well, I think it was last week when he said, you have to learn how to win all over again each and every year. And that's where this team is at. Now, you get a win this weekend, suddenly it begins to cure a lot of ills, and then if you can get a win in Seattle... Now, you got to go one game at a time. But if you can get a win in Seattle, you're feeling a whole lot better about yourself moving forward. I mean, a whole lot better. So I guess it just depends on the point of view that you're looking at to determine how good your team actually is. I mean, most will point to the record and go, here's what it is. This is it. But I get what Brett Favre's saying. It's, you know, look, you got Aaron Rodgers. That's what you want. It's a quarterback-driven league. You got a pretty good group of guys that are surrounding him. They just got to figure it out. One of the things that Mike McCarthy alluded to on Monday, now you're going to hear Mike McCarthy coming up here in the next hour as well from a little bit earlier today, but Mike McCarthy alluded to, I think it was communication and some of the same mistakes. And in essence, I think what he was saying was some of the young guys just aren't in the right place at the right time, and it's throwing Aaron off. He's not there yet. when it comes to being on the same page with his wide receiving core. He's just not there yet. If they get there, this could be a really, really good offense. But they're just not yet. And that's the unfortunate thing about it, is they need to be. For this team to be considered one of the best, it's not a defensive-driven team. Their best defense is their offense. We've talked about it time and again. Their best defense is their offense. They're putting up yardage. I mean, they're one of the top teams. They're number six in the National Football League when it comes to putting up yardage. That's not the problem. Their problem is when you're talking about points per game, which usually reflects what your yardage is, you're 14th. You rose up a little bit from 17th, but you're 14th. You're averaging 24 points per game. 24 points per game. But your third down rate, you're 17th in the National Football League. So you're basically, you're running roughshod over teams between the 20s, and when you get into their territory, it's becoming stagnant. You're settling for field goals. That's the hurdle they need to overcome. And as Rich Gannon said, look, it's not play calling. It's the execution of some of these guys. Aaron Rodgers not seeing some of them not doing the right thing. Some blocking, some penalties. I mean, it's just been little things that have cost this team. Stay tuned. We have some buy or sell coming up. We'll talk more about this Packers offense. Also hear from Mike McCarthy. All coming up in the next hour. More of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Sports Talk Network.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.